Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Well, Sid, we're taking on a serious issue today. Today's topic is an issue, a disease that plagues almost all women. It's something that they have to struggle with. Disease that they I hate to use the word cursed, but I feel like that's appropriate. And I'm hopeful that through today's episode on menstruation, we can all get together find a cure.
So, wait.
How about it?
Wait,
Science 2014.
Whoa. Okay, hold on.
Where's the cure?
So you know what we're talking about today.
Menstruation, the disease of menstruation.
Wait, no. Yes, we're going to talk about menstruation, but you know it's not a disease, right? I mean, it's not a disease.
I don't understand why our scientists are letting our women bleed once a month. As if I get injured and I start bleeding, I go to the doctor. But somehow, at some point, the men in this country of science and industry just decided, well, that's just normal. I guess women just bleed.
First of all, this is ridiculous. First of all, it's not an illness. It's normal and it's natural and it's just part of being a woman. It's normal. Secondly, men definitely have tried to stop it and fix it and hide it and have definitely been made uncomfortable by menstruation for a long time. So yeah, I don't think they're trying to cure it so much as pretend it's not happening.
Okay. That's okay.
But it's not an illness. Who told you it was an illness? Do you even know what it is?
I have a vague understanding. If someone were to not know, let's say, be completely in the dark on the topic.
It's just not somebody who's sitting next to me.
No.
Necessarily.
Somebody in podcast.
Didn't they teach you this in fifth grade?
I actually was in the boys' class.
I know, but in the girls' class, they taught us about boys.
Oh, well, okay. This is an uneven deal, then. This explains everything. If you guys were getting a guy's segment, then that actually explains a lot.
So you didn't get a girl segment?
Not to my memory, no.
I'll give you a brief... I can't believe I'm doing this. I'll give you a brief overview of what a period is.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want a better reference than what I'm about to give you, may I suggest a Disney film?
Bambi?
I certainly hope they don't cover this in Bambi. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen it, but if this is in it, that was a very different movie than I'm remembering. No, it was called The Story of Menstruation. They used to show it to school kids between 1945 and 1951. And interestingly, it was the first screenplay to use the word vagina.
I have not seen that particular Disney film. I'm thinking it must be buried in the vault back with Song of the South.
I don't know when does that one come out of the vault?
Yeah,
when is that one coming back on Blu-ray?
When's that Blu-ray? Let it out of the vault.
Interestingly, in it, the blood is white.
Wow, really?
Yeah, the blood was... They thought it would be too upsetting if it looked like blood, so anything that is...
That's,
you know,
good. That's not gonna scare our teen girls.
I know,
do get their periods and it's blood. What?
Disney said it was white.
I'm sick.
Okay, so if you don't have time to run out and purchase a copy of The Menstrual Story by Disney,
I have a podcast.
In short, since Justin doesn't know.
Come on now.
Your period is something that only happens to women, obviously, because Justin doesn't know about it. Although, to be fair, you might not even if it did
happen
to you.
That is fair.
And it's because once a month, a woman ovulates or releases an egg from her ovary, and it goes down into her uterus, where it actually on the way in the tube could be fertilized to become a baby.
Okay.
That's where babies come
from. That's all perfectly sound and reasonable.
Except that if it isn't, then instead you get rid of everything that's inside your uterus. So you shed the lining, the endometrium, and you get rid of the egg that was unfertilized. And all of this comes out as a period or a time period. That's where the word comes from, a period of time, where you bleed.
Okay.
So it happens about once a month for most women. It lasts 5 to 7 days, usually. You usually lose about a cup or less of blood, so it's not a very heavy, although it can seem that way. It's usually not much heavier than that. And it can be accompanied by things like cramping and fatigue, and some women can feel sad or moody or tired or angry.
How long have we been calling it a period? That seems like something polite society would create, a euphemism from polite society.
Period came around like in 1822, I think, was the first time it was actually used in a text. And it was just helpful because they kind of, like I was using it, it is a period of time. So menstrual cycles historically were a great way of kind of figuring out spans of time. There's some evidence that they were probably used prehistorically to kind of follow the lunar calendar, or to like an early form of math, because it was the only thing that you could reliably.
Wow.
You know, you didn't have watches or clocks. You didn't have the sense of time, but you knew that there was some interval between this occurrence in a woman's life that for most women was somewhat regular. So a period of time, it became known as a period.
It was actually pregnancy was met with a lot of chagrin because it always accompanied the family having to buy a watch. So that was unfortunate. And a calendar. There's a whole list of expenses. It's not bad enough you got to get a crib.
There's also a word for it that we don't use very often, catamenia.
Which is a scientific, popular like a for technical a while. Term? Or?
Yeah, I think it was like a technical term that arrived, that was used at some point, but it's really not persisted. Maybe there are some people still using it. It was certainly not something I ever learned. Because if you attempt to find out a lot about catamenia by Googling that word, you won't find out about menstrual cycles. For the most part, you're going to find out about a melodic Nordic metal band called Catamenia.
As confusing as that must have been for you to discover that in your Googling, I'm sure the inverse situation is is equally perplexing.
I just like that the Nordic metal band Catamenia likes to make sure that you know they're also melodic.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that's straight from them. That's not me.
I do something everybody can enjoy. This is melodic Nordic metal.
So you mentioned that women are cursed with this illness.
That was just like a joke for the beginning of the show.
Well, it's apt. There's actually a whole book about the history of menstruation called Cursed, if you ever want to read that. But this was a belief for a long time. When we kind of talk about the history of menstrual periods, how they were perceived, what people thought they were caused by, there's a strong belief in many cultures that it was some kind of punishment. In Judeo-Christian belief, it was the punishment for Eve eating the apple. Mm-hmm. So childbirth was the ultimate punishment, that women have to go through the pain of childbirth. But the precursor to that is once a month she has to go through a menstrual period, which is painful and causes her to bleed. And if she had just not eaten that apple, she wouldn't have to. In Mayan mythology, it's also seen as a punishment, that it was for some deity that broke a marital alliance, so she had to bleed once a month, and so there you go. Again, and you can kind of see this echoed in Nepal, it's believed that in young girls before their period, there is a deity, Teleju, who is a part of them, who is kind of within them. And then as soon as they have their first period, they become common and are no longer sacred because the goddess has left their bodies. So they are not valued as highly once they start their periods.
Friends, you'll notice that I was conspicuously quiet during that section. We somehow found a way to simultaneously talk about women's health and religion. So there's really not a winning play there for me as play-by-play joke guy. If there's a fourth rail inside the third rail, if you could open the third rail and find a tinier, more dangerous rail inside of it, that would be where we just were. So thanks for hanging in there with me. Sorry about my lack of contribution. I promise I'll try to do better.
All you can really do during that is just smile and look interested.
That makes, is precisely makes
some,
what I
make
did.
Make some interested hmms and hmm sounds. I will say this, because as you look into, and then we will depart from religion, if as you look into major world religions, for the most part, there is a strong belief that menstruation is, one, some sort of punishment or curse, and two, that it is a time in a woman's life when she is impure, and there are all kinds of restrictions that were placed on her during that time, whether that is, you know, simply maybe you couldn't take Holy Communion, or something much more intense, like you couldn't hand somebody something. A woman could not hand something to a man while she was on her period without it being blessed first, because otherwise he would be, I don't know, infected by her menstrual blood. However, if you are a Sikh, you do not feel that way.
No?
No. I have to give them credit as I did this research. Sikhism is the one religion that makes the point that it is not impure. There is no problem with menstruation. It is normal. Thank you. I like that. That's no, you know, true, scientific.
None of religions have a section just like what we're cool with. Hey, this is all right by us.
Periods are just fine.
That's because they don't make enough of a pitch. You know, there's not enough salesmanship in the Bible or any Bible. All the Bibles.
In all the Bibles?
Yes. Any Bible.
Well, I just like that. I would love to read exactly what the tenet is that's like, we are fine with surfing the crimson wave.
Totally cool.
Aunt Flo's okay with me.
She's got a couch at our place whenever she needs it.
And I will say that, as you know, we've been talking about how negatively throughout history that a woman's menstrual period was perceived. There was some evidence that certain cultures and certain time periods, it was not necessarily a bad thing, maybe a scary thing, but not necessarily a bad thing. In prehistoric times, there's evidence that from, I guess, cave drawings. I don't know how do we figure this stuff out?
I have no idea.
That we it make was it up. That we do. That I'm not making this up. We I swear I read it. That it was seen as a source of power and like creative energy, because the idea was that babies were thought to be formed from menstrual blood, especially like menstrual clots formed babies occasionally. Mm-hmm. So when they didn't form babies and instead you just bled, that this was a time that, you know, a woman was very powerful and could do anything at that. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time. And kind of following that theme, let's talk about our old friend Pliny the Elder.
Pliny! I had a great idea, said I'm going to tell you. Pliny the Elder t-shirts. So it'll be your first Sawbones t-shirt. And what it'll be is a stylized Pliny the Elder, but in the fashion of David the Gnome. So capturing the spirit of David the Gnome, but with a Pliny the Elder spin on it.
I love this idea.
Okay, we'll get those out to you guys.
And here. I know everybody's clamoring to learn more about Pliny the Elder, and I'll tell you, I'm working on it, guys, but Pliny the Elder had a lot to say about everything.
He didn't just restrain himself to medicine.
No.
Everybody can get on that Pliny tip.
As little as there is on the internet about Royal Rife, that's true, there is everything on the internet about Pliny the Elder.
Some of it is still being written by Pliny the Elder today. This is a fact.
It carries on. It echoes throughout the cosmos. Mm-hmm. He wrote a natural history of everything.
Everything.
So what did he have to say about periods? Well, he felt that during her period, a woman was very strong and powerful, and that if she removed her clothing at the right moment, she could stop a hailstorm or perhaps a whirlwind or maybe lightning.
Boy, somewhere in history, there is a very naked, very wet, very angry woman. Pliny!
I don't know why Helen Hunt didn't try that in Twister. That would have been a much more intriguing movie, I think.
I mean, it would certainly be something.
And she's a nice-looking lady.
I mean, that especially at that time period. Wow, she was at her peak. That would have been fantastic. Maybe they're saving it for Twister 2. I don't know.
She made me want to wear a wife beater and look like that in it.
She made us all want to wear a wife beater.
He also believed that he had a lot of these beliefs. I think that at the core of this, he just wanted women to walk around naked. If you could get naked and walk around a field like where you were growing your crops, that it would make all the bugs and worms and caterpillars and stuff fall off all the ears of corn and save your crops.
It would certainly make for an unpleasant afternoon either way. I think
wandering naked through a cornfield. I think that's one of those things you're specifically not supposed to do.
I wasn't enjoying this at first, but now there's bugs and worms falling off of everything, so I'm really getting into it now. Thanks, Pliny. You're right.
He also thought that the smell of menstrual blood would drive dogs mad, and that even ants would be repulsed by any, you know, grains or discarded anything that was touched by it.
It was used as an ancient preservation method. They would mix in menstrual blood with their food supply to keep bugs off.
And then nothing would touch it.
Nothing
that
would touch
always
it.
Worked.
Yep. Try it at home.
And he wasn't the only one. The Cherokee believed that a menstruating woman had the power to destroy her enemies.
And that one I can vouch for.
In African myth, the menstrual blood is often used in magical charms. And that can be either to purify someone, which is interesting since we have talked a lot about how, you know, it was seen as an impurity. Mm-hmm. You could purify someone with them, or you could destroy them. I guess it's a different charm. I'm assuming you
Fire
add something else. Hopefully you don't get those confused.
Yeah. Now this is my destroying menstrual blood. Where's the other jar?
And there were, you know, there were also some cures that they thought, you know, menstrual blood was responsible for. So they thought you could use it for warts, for birthmarks, gout, goiters, hemorrhoids, epilepsy, worms, leprosy, headaches.
A lot of things.
And I don't know exactly. I didn't find a lot of specifics as to how you used it. I'm hoping it was topical.
Yeah.
I found a lot of skin stuff, so I'm assuming it was like a topical application.
It's actually aerosolized. You would just walk through clouds of it. Yeah.
You could also use it as like a love charm, warding off demons, offering it to gods. And if you were lucky enough to get the first, I used the word pad that a virgin used, but they didn't actually have pads. Sure. We're talking about probably medieval times. But the first whatever device she used for her period, you could use that to cure plague.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, you couldn't, but.
Okay. Yeah, right. Gotcha.
Now, I mean, this gave it a lot of power, certainly. Mm-hmm. Women who were menstruating and menstrual blood itself. And there was a flip side to that, because also in medieval times, they thought that, you know, it could probably give dogs rabies.
Okay, see, that one is more confusing, but I guess they're entitled to believe whatever they like.
You could kill all kinds of things, fruits, beehives, crops, if a woman, if an older woman, I thought this was interesting, who had had many periods and had not yet gone through menopause, but was close, so just so that she had accumulated a lot of periods in her life, mm-hmm. if she looked at you, in her gaze, she held enough power from years of menstrual bleeding, she could poison you with her gaze.
Whoa.
Yeah, with her period gaze.
That explains how Judi Dench keeps winning all these awards. Very, very dangerous woman. You do not want to cross Judi Dench.
It's weird though, because at the same time they also knew that bleeding was important. If you remember, we're talking about a time when, you know, bloodletting was the cure for everything. Mm-hmm. So they thought women were kind of lucky in a way, because it already happened to them.
They got like a regular
treatment.
I got to pay a lot down at the corner barber for that kind of service.
But that was another way to use bloodletting was for women who, for whatever reason, didn't have periods. At the time, they wouldn't have understood any of why they weren't having them. But they knew that women are supposed to bleed regularly. So maybe if they don't, they'll start to become mannish. So if you can't get them to have periods and they had a variety of like herbal concoctions to try to make you have a period. If that didn't work, just go down to the barber and, you know, let him bleed you from your arm or whatever.
I don't think that's the same thing.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not.
It's so nice when I can puzzle these things out that ancient dudes couldn't. It makes me feel real superior.
Well, you say ancient dudes. It's great because this kind of bizarre belief. I don't know why men are so scared of periods. Can you elucidate that for me before we move on?
I mean,
I mean, that's what it seems to a lot of, and we're going to talk, we're going to kind of move on to like what we do about periods through history, but why are men so freaked out by them?
Okay, it's just blood, well, man. It's partially the mystery. We don't like things we don't understand, like opera, for example. And also, there's a lot of blood. Like, if, like in a really bloody opera, and that can be upsetting. So I guess what I'm saying is periods are like opera. They're only appreciated by cultured gentlemen like myself.
And Julia Roberts on Pretty Woman, who really understood it.
She really got it.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll accept that.
Yes.
For now. Yes. We'll probe this sometime further after the show.
Okay, sounds good.
But this kind of weird, bizarre beliefs and fear persisted. In the 1920s, there was a Viennese scientist who believed he isolated something called menotoxins.
Not real, I'm assuming?
Not that I know of, not that I have found. But they were secreted through a woman's skin while she was menstruating, and they had very specific powers.
Okay. Yeah, I like that powers keep coming up. this is a great view into the male psyche, though. I don't understand it. It might be deadly, or it might have superpowers. I'm just going to leave the option open.
It might be cool.
It might be cool. It might be super powerful. I don't know. I'm just going to assume that it's either deadly or super powerful.
Well, the power of menotoxins were not necessarily positive, though. They could prevent dough from rising. It's just kind of a lame power. And even worse, they could prevent beer from fermenting.
Is there a yeast connection? Is that what he's what they're what he's trying to draw? Maybe it can like fight. It's the only thing that can fight yeast. Was periods?
But
gotta put a stop to it. It's gone too far.
I mean, yeah. I guess it was something that he thought fought yeast. That makes sense. But I don't know why. I don't know why he thought. I mean, maybe that was it. Maybe he observed that women were not complaining about yeast when they were on their period because they've got something bigger to deal with.
Maybe. I don't know.
And of course, there has to be the psych perspective, as there is on any woman's problem. At some point, there was a psychiatrist in history who had to tell us what he thought about it.
Yeah, right.
Cramping, which
these
is
guys.
These men, these you know men. How they are. Cramping was is a common symptom of, you know, periods. A lot of women have cramping before and during their menstrual cycles. And it was seen as a psychological problem, not a physical one. And they advised that women have therapy because she a woman is rejecting her own femininity when she has cramps during a period.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that one is a misplaced belief.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, yeah. Guys, you're not doing great.
Well, the king of this, let's see what Freud thought.
Yep.
Freud thought that a period is, and this is a quote from him, the bloody sign of a woman's loss of a penis.
I'm keeping my face.
I'm assuming that's figurative, a metaphorical.
Just keeping my face.
I think he knew
rigid.
That women didn't actually, like, physically lose a penis.
Yeah.
But he just basically saw it as a sign of a further sign, because there were others, of women's inferiority in general. This show has made me not so big a fan of Freud.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't agree with him on that one, Sid.
On that one? On that one, you've got a problem.
Yeah. People seem to remember a lot of the stuff that Freud did right, but he seemed to be just kind of swing it at every pitch, I think. And he whiffed a lot of them, I think. We tend to remember the grand slams, as they were, to continue my sports metaphor that I understand. And it seems like there were a lot of whiffers.
So let's talk about what did we do? So we've talked a little bit about periods. What do we do about them through history? You know, what women were bleeding, they tried to do something. Once they figured out that this was going to happen every month and that it probably wasn't an illness, they had to deal with it. So, you know, early times, women probably just used what was available. There's been some evidence that Women attempted to use things like animal skins, moss, ash, grass, sea sponges, wood shavings, just basically whatever you had.
I would think moss might work okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were just looking for something absorbent.
Sure.
The Egyptians used papyrus. So there's another use for that.
They were just showing off that they invented paper. What?
You know what else we can use it for?
Yeah, we can do everything with it. It's amazing. I'm cleaning up a spill right now. I'm writing you this letter on this papyrus, and I'm also wiping my windows. Oh, what's up? You didn't hear about windows yet?
I like that the Pretty Egyptians great. Are basically like the guys who invented ShamWow now.
Yeah. You can do everything with it. Paper.
The Romans used wool. But the Greeks were like, forget just wool. We're going to wrap some wool around some wood and use that, which seems horribly uncomfortable on a side note.
Yeah, and prominent.
Yeah. There were plenty of cultures and times in history, though, when women just kind of bled into their clothes, onto the ground. Which I think is really interesting from a cultural perspective, if you can imagine that that was the truth today, that women just walked around.
Just going for it.
I don't know. It certainly changed the relationship with men, perhaps.
Yeah, I could...
Make it hard to go to work, I'll tell you that.
I think I'm full on in support of every sort of empowerment that there is for women and minorities and anybody who's marginalized throughout this great world of ours. I do think that would be a hard look to sell. I don't think there's a level of comfort where you say, what's that? Yeah, I'm just bleeding into my clothes today. Like it or lump it.
That's going to be the day.
That's my day. How's yours?
Well, if it's a guy and like his hemorrhoids are flaring up that day, we probably wouldn't be so cool with that look.
Right.
So I think it goes both ways. And I mean, we also, you got to remember that in some of these times when women just kind of went for it, men and women were separated. Like if you look at like the biblical recommendations, like you just stay away from women. And there are still cultures today that just, you know, send women to a hut, you know, the menstrual hut, and they just go hide away.
You know,
so it's not like they're doing anything.
If you want to talk about, I mean, you mentioned earlier, and I was sort of goofing about it, but you want to talk about why men are, you know, squeamish about periods. I think it's because we have, you know, 2 millennia of religious doctrine that says that it's something to be afraid of and shamed and, you know, avoided at all costs. That kind of stuff can permeate a culture and be pretty hard to shake, I would imagine.
I'm sure that's true because a lot of this, you know, like I said, still persists today in different places. I mean, I think that there is stigma about it, you know, even in our country. But if you go to, you know, some other cultures, the menstrual hut still exists. I mean, women are still sequestered and...
It's right next to the sunglasses hut. Not as popular. But free Wi-Fi, so I don't know.
In medieval times, they dealt with it by, there were, again, many women at the time who would just have their period in their clothes. So they would wear, like, flowers or carry nutmeg to ward off the smell so that you wouldn't know. There was also a belief that you could stop it faster if you would burn a toad in a pot and then, like, grind that into powder and then put that in a bag at your waist and carry it around. Which I guess also would hide the smell because then you deal with the smell of a burnt powdered toad.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a step up.
And that you could also deal with it or make it go away. I mean, that's what the belief was, that you can make it go away faster by doing that or by tying animal hair around the young tree, which I kind of like these beliefs because, I mean, it's going to stop probably for most women. It's going to stop in a few days. So, I mean, I guess it always works.
Well, that's similar to like, it's like cold treatments, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Hey, it stopped. Well, yeah.
It usually does.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
I talked about how difficult it would be to go to work if you weren't using some kind of, you know, barrier between yourself and the ground while you're on your period. And that certainly was one way that we dealt with it. In the 1700s, I think this is great, no women worked in the opium industry in Saigon.
Yeah, they ran a tight ship there.
No, they didn't. They thought it would make the opium taste bitter if you had a woman who was menstruating there.
Okay.
In 1800s in Europe, the women, again, since they didn't use anything, they weren't allowed to work in the sugar refineries in France. Or in the pickling factories in the UK, which I don't think is a big sacrifice, personally.
Yeah.
I think it was pickling meat, and I don't even know how that works. So I think if the biggest sacrifice I have to make is I can't pickle meat, I'm good with that.
Yeah. I'm still sorry about that, though. I think everybody should be able to pickle meat if they want to.
If they want to. By the late 1800s, the first pads were created. It was interesting. Most of them at the time, they didn't have, you know, the, there's adhesive on the back of pads. You might not know that. Sanitary napkins. They stick inside your underwear.
Right.
But they didn't have that. And so most of them were held in place by like belts. They didn't even consistently have underwear yet.
Where function means fashion.
So you would have these belts. You could make like a homemade little muslin belt that you would wear with your pad. And there were also, they moved on to some more absorbent things. Like they started using the same material that they used diapers, that they used for diapers. And they also had things like period bloomers and period aprons. And I can't even picture what those must have been like.
No,
a whole ordeal is what I'm guessing.
A whole production.
A whole production. These are my period bloomers. Okay, I'm out. Okay.
Yeah. That seems like a whole production.
That's, you know, maybe that's like a euphemism for like, I'm just having one of those bad like days where I'm just going to lay on the couch. I'm in my period bloomers today.
Can't come to lunch. I'm already in my period bloomers.
It's kind of like my cookie pants. In World War I, French nurses realized that the celluloid bandages that they used well for wounds also worked well for that. So they started using that, which expired further pad technology.
Okay.
Kotex were invented soon after that. And by 32, we had the menstrual cup.
Finally, the answer to periods, it finally comes on the scene. I'm sorry it took us that long to invent them.
Do you flash know what forward, a menstrual cup
flash
is?
Flash forward 80 some years, and we are still using menstrual cups today.
Now, to be fair, there are some women who do use menstrual cups.
That's still a thing?
It is still a thing. It's not something that I use personally or am familiar with, but I've read about it. And there are menstrual cups, which are literally little flexible plastic cups.
I've probably bought more tampons in the last 10 years than you have. And I have never seen menstrual cups on the shelves.
I have to imagine it's maybe a country by country thing, and maybe it's just not popular. Maybe it's regional. Maybe it's not popular in this region. Because it wasn't something that, as a young girl asking her mom what to do, you know, about getting her monthly visitor, I don't think she ever introduced to me the concept of the menstrual cup. Mm-hmm. But it's out there, and some women use it, and you just kind of put it up inside your vagina, and it catches all the blood, as you may imagine.
Ladies, if you at home use a menstrual cup or know someone who does, just keep going.
What
for
are you
going
to do?
Good.
Ask us?
Good for
you.
Good,
want
good.
Them to ask them about it?
I hope it's working
no,
for you.
No, don't. You don't have to share that private information. If you want to, but you can. We can refrain from that.
What about tampons, Sid?
The next year, 1933.
Okay.
Tampons finally came around.
Someone said, this is ridiculous.
Saving us all from belts that went with our pads and
bloomers,
sticks
special
wrapped
bloomers.
In wool and special period bloomers. So tampons are born. And then, of course, today we have a variety of colors and styles and all kinds of commercials of women dancing and doing yoga to demonstrate how well they work. So
if they're not eating yogurt, they're not being bothered by their period solution.
The only other time you see women having that much fun in a commercial is when they have herpes.
Is that everything, Sid? That's the whole topic?
I mean, I think there's no like modern concept of menstruation. Like I said, it's not an illness, so I guess we cleared that up for you. And
I did it! Yes! I got through an entire episode about menstruation and didn't say anything completely stupid and embarrass myself. So I feel really good. That was a real high wire act there, folks. I want to thank my dad, my mom, everybody who's helped to shape me throughout my life.
Now, you did open the show by calling periods an illness.
That was a bit. Everybody knew that was a bit. No, I did it. And I'm so proud of myself. I'm also proud of you. I'm really proud of me. That was a tough one, and I hung in there, and gosh, I just couldn't. I'm ready to pop. I'm so proud.
That's really great.
Thank you.
Is this your biggest accomplishment, you'd say, of the week?
To date, yes.
To date.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to our show, Sawbones. We hope you enjoyed it. We're here every Tuesday. Thank you to Sarah and Emma, both of whom suggested menstruation as a topic.
Yeah, you guys have been clamoring for this, and so here it is.
Here you go.
In all its glory.
Everybody, enjoy. If you'd like to suggest a historical medical topic for us to talk about, email us, sawbones@maximumfun.com. MaximumFun.org. What's that? I said MaximumFun.org. Well, yes, that's where you can find all the shows on the Maximum Fun Network, like Jordan Jesse Go, Stop Podcasting Yourself, Judge John Hodgman.
My brother and me.
Oh, thank you so much, Sandy. I really appreciate that.
Always. Even though you're trying to steal our Tuesday thunder.
Sorry, I just messed it up. We were late. There's a new episode of Bim Bam if you want to go listen to that. After you're done here and you tell a bunch of people to listen to our show, of course. Thank you to people tweeting about our show, like Ethan Horn, Rowan White, Nicole, Mike D, Rick Butler, Chris Sparks, Brian Lippman, Brian Kelly, Jay Butler, Georgina Penny, Donald Fall, Bill, Smith, Cassie, Jenna, Sarah, Gus, Devin, Andy, so many others. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tweeting at us. You can tweet at Justin if you want to, at Justin McElroy.
And she's at Sydney McElroy, SydneeMcElroy. I want to thank Dave Lavender from the Herald Dispatch. He did a great piece about us in the newspaper on Sunday. Got the whole front page of the life section.
That's pretty right. Cool. And took adorable pictures. We were drinking from the same soda. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
it was
so cute. Thank
you,
Lori.
It was like an Archie comic. Thanks
to Lori. She took the pictures for the article. And you can find those on our Twitter feed. We're at Sawbones. And you can go follow us there and look for the link to that because I tweeted it. And I think that's going to do it for us. If you get a chance this week, if you could head over to iTunes, give us a review, and tell some friends about the show, gosh, we'd sure appreciate it. And I think that's going to do it for us. Until next Tuesday, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.